49th case, quick delete, quick end case.
San Cheng's golden fish who has passed through the net. Pointer. Piercing, penetrating, one takes the drone and captures the flag. Fortified, entrenched, one inspects the front and oversees the rear. One who sits on the tiger's head to take the tiger's tail is not yet an adept. Though an ox head disappears and a horse head returns, this too is not yet extraordinary. But say, how is it when a man who has passed beyond measurements comes? To test I am citing this old case, look. The case, San Cheng asked Su Feng, I wonder what does the golden fish who passed through the net use for food? Feng said, when you come out of the net, I'll tell you. Cheng said, the teacher of 1,500 people, and you don't even know what to say. Feng said, my affairs as abbot are many and complicated.
Pointer, piercing and penetrating, one takes the drum and captures the flag. Fortified, entrenched, one inspects the front and oversees the rear. First one, piercing, penetrating, one takes the drum and captures the flag, means offense of the fortress, as example. Second one, fortified, entrenched, one inspects the front and oversees the rear. It means defense of the fortress. The piercing, penetrating, one takes a drum and captures the flag. defense and offense, fence, both exist simultaneously in our lives. piercing, penetrating, when you try to educate, when you try to teach somebody, anyway, you have to pierce means you have to hit the drum and takes away the flag of egoistic sense. Means we have to, with the word piercing means, even if you use one word must be pierced into the human heart. And also it's that education must be penetrated others, means your education with the words, with the mind, with the attitude, must be based on the compassion, and otherwise you cannot penetrate. So that here says one takes a drum means using their expedient technique ways, expedient method, words, physical actions, and also thinking. Anyway, we can approach to the people and teach and educate. Simultaneously, that way, the expedient method must penetrate the other's life. So that is offense of the fortress. what you teach. Anyway, positively you have to teach. Anyway, you have to educate. Initiatively you have to move toward. Anyway, for this you need that education or teaching requires kindness, compassion. Anyway, in other words, true heart, looking at human life for a long run, and then teach. You have to teach, even though you use the one words which is very piercing into the other people's heart, but it is not something piercing, but because it is based on compassion. Compassion let you see human life, your life and others' life for a long run. Otherwise, your education, your teaching, and your presence doesn't penetrate others. Okay. That's why, anyway, positively, you have to take care of your life, and also you have to teach others' life. In order to teach others, but simultaneously defend yourself against external, internal attacks. Means externally, internally, there are many things. So you have to know the many things externally, you have to know many things internally anyway. Means you have to know yourself, your past life, and present life, future life, and also front and back, and to the right, to the left. You have to know many things. And then you can defend yourself against external or internal attack. Bodhisattva, if you read the Diamond Sutra, Bodhisattvas, it always mentions Bodhisattva's life, which they always they are careful to take care of their life, watching over the many things externally, internally. So they don't fall into a pitfall on purpose, anyway, or consciously. Even though you are very careful of taking of your life, watching over the front and back and the to the right, to the left, nevertheless you easily fall into the pitfall before you are conscious of them. This is very common. Before you're conscious of them, you fall into the pitfall, and was marked for obstacles. Well, when I I was pretty often asked by the people to try to taste and new one and something drugs. Particularly in 1970s, people tried to experience drugs and marijuana, etc. But unfortunately, I knew a little bit what is marijuana and any kind of drugs that people were interested in. That's why I didn't take it. Well, if you know something which, if you know something pretty well, before you act toward that, well, it's not necessary to do. But many people believe that you should experience everything. No, you cannot experience everything, okay? If you try to experience everything, it makes you confused. Because if you act, result of your action becomes ghost anyway. Something more than you have expected. That is actions. So if you know something very clearly, dangerous or something or unwholesome, I don't think it's necessary to go there. Sometimes, if you go there, sometimes you become the insect in the sun, jumping into the fire. So committing suicide, it's very common. That's why people are very suffering anyway, suffering from their life very much. So, fortified and entrenched, one inspects the front and the oversees the rear. That is a bodhisattva life, to watch over anyway many things in front and in the back of your life. And then, nevertheless, there are lots of obstacles, dangerous situations there. So, if you know pretty well human life, not only there are many things you can see objectively or externally, you have to learn yourself surrounded by the countless number of feelings and emotions going on inside of your life. That is a human being. And that feelings of acting very subtly and also sometimes very drearily, sometimes very wonderfully, sometimes painfully. So you should know the human feelings, human emotions. So many things going on inside. So that's why fortified, entrenched, one inspects the front and oversees the rear. Then if you understand yourself at that time, you can accept yourself. Yourself as a human being, looking at yourself for a long run. Then you understand others too. So very naturally, if you can accept yourself smoothly. And if you accept yourself, what is called defense of your fortress. And then very naturally, you act initiatively. You can live yourself initiatively. That is offense of the fortress in your life. When I was a child, I had a very bad habit. Particularly in winter time, in the winter, I went to the school, but it was cold, not much, and not like this in Minneapolis, but it was pretty mild, but lots of snows. And then on the way to the school, I felt my foot cold. So I quit going to school and crying went back home, I was always called by my father. And also, that is one point. The second point was that I always felt tired. I always felt tired when I came back from the school. So I sat down at the bottom of the stairs, you know, and then always I sighed loudly. So my father called me, "Don't sigh, stop sighing." And after that, when I went to the high school, I practiced the judo. That practice of judo was pretty good for me because I can use myself very initiatively. Instead of waiting for something to do, or always accepting myself, you know, well, not initiatively, always withdrawing, looking at myself objectively. That's why, consciously, unconsciously, I criticized myself, so that's why criticism made me tired. But even a child does in that way. So that's why my father scolded me very much, but I didn't understand. So when I went to high school, we had to practice judo with no excuse. That was pretty good medicine for me because I did something positively, initiatively, using my life. There was no chance to look at myself objectively, criticizing myself. So that was so pretty good for me. So I realized I can do something. I can do something positively. I can do something pretty good. So since then I didn't feel tired so much. But the practice of judo was very hard work, you know, physically. But I didn't feel tired. So since then I really understand myself that I should do something positively or initiatively anyway, moving toward something by myself, concentrating on jumping into there and achieve something, even though I cannot do it. But before you do, always there is two questions: I can do, I cannot do. But anyway, let's do it. But don't do it blindly. As best as you can, you have to know, you have to understand something well clearly as much as possible. But still you cannot see the clear answer that you can do or you cannot do. But you should start to do. And then it's pretty good for us. But most of the people don't do this. Always criticize because always try to get some answer, clear answer. I can do, I cannot do. Sometimes. Sometimes you can see. Sometimes there is something you cannot know. since then, even the answer, yes, I did always answer the loudly and the yes and positively very much. But if the answer is very important, if you say yes, that's it, you know. Very natural, your life is something like that. But if you say yes, well, very positively and loudly, with confidence, you know, you can do it. You can do something. So that spirit is very important. So, for this, you should accept totally yourself, who you are. Pretty weak. Human beings are pretty weak. And human beings possess lots of karmic life you don't know, anyway. Karmic life leads you to go in a completely different direction which you have never thought before. There is a karmic life anyway. When you are born, immediately there is a karmic life with you. So from this point, you cannot escape from your karmic life, which something set up exactly. So then, you have to accept a totally karmic life. That time you can defend yourself against attack, externally or internally. And then, simultaneously, to defend yourself means to do something positive. So that is, it says, piercing, penetrating, one takes the drum and captures the flag, fortified, infant, one inspects the front and oversees the rear. So, defense and offense are not two. Okay? So, simultaneously there. If you defend yourself, it is simultaneously you do something positive. If you do something positively, well, that is simultaneously you defend yourself against. In other words, you protect yourself for wrong man, looking at your life for wrong man, protect. One fool sits on the tiger's head to take the tiger's tail is not yet an adept. Though an ox head disappears and a horse head returns, this too is not yet extraordinary. One who sits on the tiger's head to take the tiger's tail is to do something perfectly, to do something perfectly, to act, to achieve something perfectly. That is to sit on the tiger's head to take the tiger's tail. When you teach somebody your teachings, your actions, is perfect. But even though it is perfect, it's not good enough. because if you believe that your life is perfect, simultaneously you create cracks from which the cold air blows in. There is no space, which is called flexibility. You have to see both offense and defense. Defense and offense. The both working simultaneously. But if you always believe that your life is perfect at that time, you always see there one side of your life, so-called offense. So there is no compassion. You have to defend yourself. To defend yourself means to have a compassion, to have a compassion, understanding deeply yourself and others. That time you can defend yourself. Then you can teach. You can go toward others. So, the one foot, that's why he says, one foot sits on the tiger's head to take the tiger's tail is not yet an adept. It's not perfect. It's imperfect. It's not good enough. Though an ox head disappears and the horse head returns, this too is not yet extraordinary. Means that the ox head disappears and a horse head returns means to do something very quickly. Very quickly, very smartly, swiftly, rapidly. You can teach, you can give some impression to the people with a word. Well, you can see such a person, a big voice in San Francisco, he is very smart. He uses words very good, very good. The people are very impressed by his words. So that is a teaching, pretty good. Very quickly. If you read this koan, then you have to give a word, you have to act very quickly, rapidly. But it is perfect. It's really piercing into the people's heart. But he says, nevertheless, it is not good enough. But say, how is it when a man who has passed beyond measurements comes to test, I am citing this old case, look. Sun Shan asked the Su Feng. Sun Shan was one of the Linji's, Lin Zai Zen masters. Asked Su Feng, I wonder what does the golden fish who has passed through the net use for food? That means when you attain enlightenment, when you become Buddha, or when you become saint, what kind of food do you eat? Do you eat air? Or do you eat usual food other people do? What kind of food do you eat? So that is a question. I wonder, what does the golden fish who has passed through the net, means to pass through the net of the Buddhas and the enlightenment or delusion, or ordinary people or Buddha, and will completely go beyond. Then you can experience so-called freedom, perfectly freedom, or peace. So that is a golden fish. That time you become a golden fish. So what does the golden fish who has passed through the net use for food? Feng said, when you come out of the net, I will tell you. But the some chance experience saying like this was wonderful. Very smart and sharp questions, because he experienced this one. Nirvana, perfect freedom. A friend said, when you come out of the net, I will tell you, means his answer was pretty evasive. It's not a real answer. But he said like this means that he realized that the sunshine already sat on the chair of his enlightenment even for a moment, but he didn't realize it. For instance, Gunyo Zen Master was asked, the Zen Master was asked by the monk, saying, I have nothing to carry on my back. What should I drop off? In other words, he attained enlightenment, so called nothing. I have carried nothing. And then Zen Martin says, put down that nothing. But he said, I have already carried nothing on my back. What should I put down? The Zen Master says, please go home with carrying that one. Do you understand? Go back home. Go back home with nothing. Means he didn't understand. Nothing. Nothing to carry. But he already carried enough something. So called nothing. Do you understand? For instance, I said, don't think. So you try not to think, it means already thinking. Same thing, same apply to this. The questions. I have nothing to carry, but then my sense put down nothing here. But he says, I have nothing to put down. What should I put down? So then Master says, if you think so, well, you should carry it back to your home. If you think how important nothing is for you. So he always carried the nothing. But not to carry the nothing is no more nothing. It's already something. So same apply to here too. Feng experienced that wonderful nirvana freedom. So he said, what does golden fish who passes through the net eat, use the food? Means already he carried. He has carried the golden fish. So that's why Feng said, when you come out of the net, I will tell you. Once more again, you should come out of the net. And then the Sheng said, the teacher of the 1500 people, and you don't even know what to say. That time of Sheng, the Sheng had, it is said that the Sheng had 2,500 monks and many monks practicing under him those days. So he says the teaching, that's why you are a great teacher, because under you there are many students practicing together. So that he says, the teacher of 1,500 people, you are great then teacher, but you don't know what to say. Bhagavata is really, what would you say, kind of a means. Meanness. But Feng said, my affairs as abbot are many and complicated, means my task as an abbot makes me busy, so I don't have enough time to discuss about it with you now. So he said he left. That answer is, it's not real answer, but he exactly, let's say, had great skillful methods called parry. Sometimes he had a skillful method called thrust. On the other hand, parry. Not escape. So, in the commentary, it says, when these attempts met, there was one capture and one release. You have to capture, you have to take something, what you have to teach, you have to give. You have to give. In order to give, you have to take people anyway, grasp him or her and give. Simultaneously, you have to release, let it go anyway. So that means that when these adepts met, there was one capture and one release. You can do it. For instance, a friend of mine, Yokoro, she always taught me many things, but one side of his life taught me was very, strict. Always he captured me. When he captured me, he never released me. He immediately captured me. On the other hand, he released me. He let me free, always. That means compassion. Always did it, compassion. So, I was pretty mad at him, but simultaneously I cannot escape from this because there is a release. But he didn't actually let me go, but I myself let go. Because I can see his really deep compassion in his life toward me. So, that's why if you educate somebody, or if you teach, if you see somebody, if you meet somebody, anyway, you have to always take somebody. Otherwise, you cannot devote yourself to do something. Initiative. So you should take something anyway, grasp it. But it's not egoistic. You have to release it. Let it go. Means you need. It requires you very deep understanding. That is compassion. And then you can feel, you can take a deep breath there, and also you can let the others take deep breath. That is simultaneously there. then you can teach. And one release, each acted weak when encountering strength, and acted noble when encountering meanness. If you form your understanding in terms of victory and defeat, you haven't seen Su Feng even in dreams. Each acted weak when encountering strength. When you see somebody always expressing his strength in front of you, you can't fight anyway. At that time, you should accept him very smoothly. In order to do this, you act weak. You cannot fight. If you fight with him or her, very naturally you express strength. So, strength to strength, always fight. No end of fighting. So, if you see somebody expressing his strength, you act weak. Means don't fight with him or her. Very softly you can do. On the other hand, each acted noble when encountering meanness. You can experience such a situation always. There are some individuals who always mean you, fool yourself, fool others, using the meanness words. I experienced that one seven years ago, when I was on Fifth Street, Southeast. One of the Japanese college students in Minnesota, University of Minnesota, who studied science. He came with his friends and visiting me and said, immediate one first words was that, are you a Zen master? If you are Zen master, you attain enlightenment, you are an enlightened person. This is first active words. That is so called meanness. It's really mean. So if you fight with this kind of words, you know, you become mean. So no end of fighting. I said in the life there are two things simultaneously exist in your life, defense and the offense, but there is no a sense of victory or defeat. Don't fight. That means you shouldn't fight anyway. When somebody really attacks strongly, well, you should withdraw anyway. Withdrawal is not withdrawal, not loose, not loose. Okay. But if some person is pretty weak, and sometimes you should push him or push her, do something initiatively. Somebody they really put you down and. Well, you should be noble. Anyway, you should be very noble, gentle, compassionate, and patient. Anyway, patient. Around your life, but there are many people who put you down always, don't you? the words, with the action. At that time, you shouldn't bark at him or her always. Don't bark back. Even though people bark at you, don't bark back. Them, but he or she, anyway. It should be always noble, anyway. So, that's why the Master Feng said, my affairs at the abbot are many and complicated. And he left. Anyway, he left. So, both the Master were pretty good in this koan, but they're not discussing about the defense and the victory or defeat. Both are great Zen teachers. The important point is you can't fight each other. You shouldn't fight anyway. But both the master anyway accept very smoothly a certain situation, expressing his noble attitude toward the person who is expressing meanness. Just accept the situation instead of fighting. So this is very important. So from this point, San Shen anyway accept his experience, but instead of expressing his strength, anyway, he should express noble. Simply because he expressed his strength because he really realized great nirvana freedom. Which is strength. So he expressed his strength when encountering strength. That is called sitting on the chair of nirvana, enlightenment. You can't do that. That's why in Buddhism always you achieve a certain stage and you should stand up from that seat and move. Then you reach a certain stage, you should stand up from that seat and move, instead of always staying there. You cannot do it. So constantly you have to do it. If you do something very naturally, you can get result anyway. But you cannot stay with the result always. Even the good, even the bad. Stand up quickly, as soon as possible, and move, walking straightly, anyway. So that is the meaning of this case. Okay. Do you have a question?
Hey. In several years of listening to talks about Zen, I've never heard a talk about taking initiative before. I'm curious, why is it that this is the first time?
Zen is pretty. Zen is a kind of a way of living and taking an initiative. For instance, the expression is different. Zen says, be master of yourself in whatever situation you may be. This is a way to live your life initiatively. Do you understand?
Huh?
The taking initiative doesn't mean to rush into the certain destination blindly. People usually say you should do something positively. That means people always do something positively pretty good, but they don't understand the human life in the broadest perspective. Very now, with pretty narrow understanding. And then if you take initiative in your life, it's trouble anyway. Do you understand the difference?
You said if you know that something before, you don't need to get into to experience about that. But I was kind of thinking that just the knowledge and experiencing something is a total different thing.
Yes, total difference. But you should know also something which happens total different before you think. On the way to experience. On the way to experience, sometimes something happens total different what you have never thought before. Okay. You should know this too.
Okay.
Experience is important. I don't mean you shouldn't experience. Sometimes you have to experience, even though you know what it is. Before you do, okay? Sometimes you have to do, but sometimes not everything. Everything. So that's why you have to consider carefully, well, the something that the whether the you should do it or you shouldn't do it. Understanding yourself and also your object. Because, for instance, like marijuana and the drugs, one of the then teachers was forced by the students to take a marijuana, and then he became sick. Because he was interested in the tasting, but he was sick. But I don't think it's necessary to become sick anyway. So if you know what the marijuana is, oh, fantastic, wonderful, in a sense, wonderful. But you should know who you are, physically or mentally anyway, okay? And also you should know what the marijuana is. Sometimes people attain enlightenment, kind of enlightenment, by taking marijuana, of course. It's not universal anyway. It doesn't fit to your life sometimes. Is that okay?
Maybe this is a kind of stupid question, but about marijuana and well, not marijuana, maybe some drug. Assuming if you take that drug, you can attain enlightenment. And if you have enough that drug through your whole life, and so you can keep up your enlightenment rest of your life.
There is no guarantee.
Yeah, but I just wondering, that enlightenment and the enlightenment by yourself could be a different?
Different from what? Enlightenment through them? Oh, kind of. Pretty close, but not exactly. Pretty close. I know there are some people who attain enlightenment. I don't know that whether we should call it enlightenment or not, you know. Maybe some appropriate term, but I don't know exactly. So let me say it, enlightenment. So I know there are some people who attain actually anyway enlightenment through that. But point is that I mentioned always, whatever it is, you cannot sit on the chair of something, okay? Always. Because always is change. Everything is changing anyway.
I'm still confused by this question that, not necessarily marijuana or drugs, but just the thing of how can you know about something before you're dealing with it or have experience with it?
From the book?
Through the book?
Well, through your common sense? You can know many ways. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Well, sure. But then you can say many people read about Zen before they come to Zen Center or get involved. Mm-hmm. But when they're reading, it's not exactly when you're coming
mm-hmm.
and practicing.
Yeah, spiritual experience is something important to you because you have to experience anyway. But the religion is not always to taste water, always. Not to make an experiment, always. Mm-hmm. Religion is to experience something, you should make experiment or you shouldn't make experiment. Both. Because you can only make experiment over everything. Don't you think so? For instance, going to the moon. How can you go to the moon now? Maybe next century you will be able to go. If you survive. But now, no chance. But you cannot ignore that situation, so in order to understand the human world, the human beings very deeply, you have to know that human world, the human beings, which you can make the experiment of them, and what you can make an experiment, like a moon, going to the moon. Some people misunderstand Zen. Because saying Zen is Vedan Jichi means to know by themselves, to know the water, to know what the, to know the, to know that the water is cold. Do you understand? By drinking. Do you understand? It's not Zen, anyway. Because to experience, to know something by your experience is something part of human world, universe. Still, there are many things you don't know. But religion or Zen, if you say religion must be something including whole world, okay? You know or you cannot know. But anyway, you should whole, include whole things. Nevertheless, you cannot be that tossed away, you cannot be a panic, even though you cannot know many things. But you have to walk stably, day to day, step by step, all this. This is religious practice anyway. And then learn every day, step by step.